The scripture passage for this last Sunday of our September series, Searching for Happiness, is from the first Psalm, verses 1 through 3. It will be read in two different translation versions. First, the Common English Bible translation, and then in a modern Bible paraphrase called The Message. May these words of the Holy Bible refresh our minds, renew our souls, and rekindle our hearts. The truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and doesn't sit with the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, these persons love the Lord's instruction, and they recite God's instruction day and night. They are like a tree replanted by streams of water, which bear fruit at just the right time, and whose leaves don't fade. Whatever they do succeeds. Now, as we read it again in a more everyday language, may the Word of God speak to our lives and bless us. How well God must like you. You don't walk in the ruts of those blind as bats. You don't stand with the good-for-nothings. You don't take your seat among the know-it-alls. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, and always in bloom. That ends this morning's scripture.
With our sermon series this month, we have journeyed in search of secrets to true happiness. Truly, happiness is what everyone wants more of in their lives. Probably because I am very on the first line in seeking for more happiness, I wanted to have this series and reflecting what God would have to say about our desire for more happiness. So over the last 3 weeks, we have been reminded that first, happiness won't be possible when our attitudes are constantly and habitually negative. So on the first Sunday of this series, we embrace the truth that happiness is an inside job. On the second Sunday, we consider the scientific research that reports the benefits of practicing generosity and kindness. And this must not be surprising, right? Because as our experience proves, we cannot live without others. We are created as a social creature in need of one another, with the responsibility of taking care of one another. Then last Sunday, we reflected on the truth that taking care of our body is not only science-proof happiness-boosting strategy, but also God's intent for us. What? Does God care about our body? Yes. The Creator, whom we say we believe in, is the one who created the material world and human body, and God declared it's good. Christianity cares about the health and wholeness of life with understanding that God created us as an integrated unity of body and soul. For this series, which is again a desire that everyone yearns for, namely happiness, science has been helpful. What? Science in a preacher's sermon? You might react, yes, science. The happiness-boosting strategies that I preached for the last 3 weeks were all supported with scientific researchers, as well as with Christian teachings from the Bible. A department in psychology has been studying on this very topic, happiness, And in particular, Dr. Sonia Lyubomirsky is professor of psychology at University of California, Riverside. Her book have been of great help for this series, as her books offer various experimental research data. Now we are on the final Sunday with this series. Statement of truth for today is this: happiness increases when we take care of our soul. Definitely, that is what I can say as a preacher, right? Again, then, as I said, science has been helpful in this series. Then am I saying that science has things to say about taking care of our soul? You might wonder that way. Yes. Though you may feel that scientists do not want to do anything with the religion. Of course, religious beliefs cannot be empirically tested or falsified. But this doesn't mean consequences of having faith cannot be studied. That's the area that the scientists study, the consequences of having faith. Then the main methodology for them is to compare between religious and non-religious people. Then in the areas of a person's first physical health, and second, post-trauma management and happy emotion, then they have found positive happiness and resilience enhanced consequences of practicing religion. So let's talk about the benefits of practicing religion that science has found on those three areas. First, as for post-trauma management, Dr. Lyubomirsky introduced one study. Parents who had lost a baby to sudden infant death syndrome were interviewed 3 weeks after their loss, and then again after 18 months. Those who attended religious service frequently and who reported religion as being important to them were better able to cope 18 months after the loss, showing relatively less depressions and greater well-being than non-religious people. Yeah, the research didn't study much about what in the religion made that difference. Then you may be able to say, hey, yeah, I know from my experience, social support system through the church, that social support system must have helped. And instead of dwelling on the past, being encouraged by one another in the church and in their religious community to entrust it to the hand of their God must have helped as well. Second, let me introduce scientific findings on the interrelation between managing health and practicing religion by quoting one article from Mayo Clinic Healthcare System website. I will quote, "We reviewed published studies, meta-analysis, systematic reviews, and subject reviews that examine the association between religious involvement and spirituality and physical health, mental health, health-related quality of life, and other health outcomes. Most studies have shown that religious involvement and spirituality are associated with better health outcomes, including greater longevity, coping skills, and health-related quality of life, even during terminal illness, and less anxiety, depression, and suicide." End quote. Of course, it doesn't mean that if you have a faith and if you practice religion and spirituality, you will never get sick. No. But think about what you hear at the church. What is the encouragement and exhortation that you receive at the church or in your prayer time or in your time with the Bible and with the fellow believers? You are encouraged and instructed over and over to avoid unhealthy practices and diets and to live a positive, low-stress lifestyles and to foster a harmonious family life. I know these are often challenging. Then what? Under the burden of those challenging instructions, do we, people of faith, carry a sense of guilt and shame in us? No. No. Of course, that is one kind of stereotypes that people outside the church have on us. In many places, religious people are perceived as more passive about their lives and health than their less religious peers. Religious people are regarded incapable of rational scientific thought or have maladaptive beliefs in some ideas, for instance, original sin, divine vengeance, and so on. And then criticism is often given to religious congregations also for demanding time, money, sacrifice, and conformity to the old doctrine and to the existing power system of the society. Then let me make it clear on this. Though there must be some valid point in those accusations, I can say for sure that these are not who we are as people of God. I often see that people make judgment on the church while they rarely give time and effort to know better what the church says and does. We are not people living with the fear of the curse of hell, and we are interested in intimidating people with that fear. No, our church has interest in helping people to affirm their identity, known and loved, and created for good reason. And this is what we do with even today with the ceremony of confirmation, isn't it? We assure the youth that God confirms the divine promise to them. And speaking of more happiness feeling in religious people, a 2019 Pew Research study must be helpful. It shows interesting numbers. Researchers divided survey takers into three categories. First, the actively religious who identify with religion and with one religion and attend the house of worship at least monthly, probably just like most of you here. The second, the inactively religious who identify with religion but attend less frequently. And third, the unaffiliated or nuns who do not identify with any religion. Then what is found about Americans is that actively religious people are more likely than their less religious peers to describe themselves as being happy. 4 of 10 versus 1 of 4. Okay, until now, I have talked about what science and social study researchers have found as the consequences of practicing religion in the area of health and well-being of human life. Why did I want to spend much time with this, with what science says? If I'm honest, it's because of the fact that we live in an age of scientism, which is a belief in the power of scientific knowledge and techniques on every matter in human life, even normative values. Maybe to those whose religion is a science, and to those to whom authority comes from scientific knowledge, I wanted to say that even science proves positive consequences of having religious beliefs. And above all, to all of us, I wanted to say that taking care of our soul enhances not simply happy feeling, but a deep sense of inner satisfaction, peace, and contentment. Because these are the true subject of religion and spirituality. We believe in a God who is known for having said to us over and over in all different places the same message. God loves us, so God wants us to be happy. God has given us life out of love, so God wants us to live the gift of life to the fullest, not lavishly, but responsibly. We are wrong if we think that God is not concerned about the way we live as long as it makes us happy. God has told us how God wants us to live, and we learn that how in the first Psalm today. with my selection of this passage, you might think that I picked this in order to support what I wanted to say that we should do. Yes and no, right? I picked this as I remember personally. This first psalm has comforted and encouraged and reassured me in my life, and more particularly, on the very first night in my military boot camp. Can you imagine how kind of scared I must have felt? Then this first psalm has comforted me. And I also picked this with the four of our confirmation youth in mind today. But more importantly, I believe, and the biblical scholars and preachers throughout the history believe, that this passage is in line with the overarching, consistent message of the Bible. Scripture says that happiness is in delighting in God's instruction. Okay, let me face that in many other translations, it says delight in the law of God. And many interpreters have understood the law to mean the Mosaic law in the first five books of the Hebrew scripture, being represented by the Ten Commandments. Not only does this have the danger of rigid legalism that is associated with a mechanics system of reward and punishment for obedience or disobedience, this simplifies the fundamental meaning of the original word that was used here. As the Common English Bible translates more rightfully, what is expected of God's people is not a closed-minded legalism, but a posture of constant openness to God's instruction, not exclusively to a certain set of religious teachings. But this openness to God's teaching is not a burden, but a source of delight. Friends, do you or do your loved ones are feeling abandoned or unhappy as you feel that God is silent? Perhaps your Bible has been closed. Did you make the conclusion that God does not exist while your heart has never been open to the teaching of God? Do you believe that happiness is found only in material comfort, economic prosperity, social status, and emotional fulfillment while you haven't given faith a chance to make a difference in your life? An openness to God's teaching is a way of taking care of a soul. And as we meditate it, it enhances true happiness in us. The other lesson that I find in these first three verses of Psalm 1 is a stable rootedness. Let me talk more about it. Persons who are open to God's instructions are like trees transplanted beside a source of water. This tree imagery highlights not primarily the aspect of fruitfulness, but the importance of stable rootedness. The root is in precisely the proper place beside water, bigger than one tree, providing life-sustaining resources. Today, friends, where do you put down your root? Do you put them down in a proper place? Do you put them deep down as you receive what you need for fulfilling life? Where have you set your mind? Many of us know Job in the Bible. There used to be days when he lived his life in grand prosperity. There have been days when life felt altogether good, with a big family, with a big land, with many servants. But Job was all messed up. He lost his possessions. He lost his servant, he lost his wealth, he lost his wife and children. He lost his social standing, wondering what could be left. It was his root grounded and runs deep down to the source of all that he used to have. Job is connected to his source. When we are rooted and grounded, we don't have to worry about being cut down. We don't have to worry about what people think of us or if people say of us, because we are connected to the source. When we are rooted and grounded, we can live without dread of what may be next, without distress over times, without panic and alarm, because at the very center of a fresh water on our root, we can rest assured of God's faithfulness, and we can remain still and be happy in our soul. So, let me conclude. I didn't say some kind of simplistic, happy-go-lucky faith that always smiles and says everything is wonderful if you do this and that, if you love Jesus, and if you have this faith. Life, right, is hard. Life is messy, and life is complicated. Many of our prayers have been left unanswered. Many of our dreams have been broken, haven't they? My faith today has a lot of ambiguity and unknowns. Faith is not always black and white and simple and easy. I often find myself saying in prayer and even just a sign, Lord, help my unbelief. And yet, at the core of my being, I am a person of a faith. Faith may not make me rich. Faith may not make me move up the social ladder. Faith may not bring me more fame. However, I do know that faith makes me live a life happier, more fulfilling, more satisfying in my soul and to my core. So, my prayer for you and me today is that in every circumstance, may we choose faith and harness the benefits of faith that improves our happiness and life quality. So let our heart and soul be open to God's instruction. Let's check out whether our Bible is closed, and delight in meditating the Word of God. Let our being and belonging stay rooted in Christ's body, the church. And let's see our life together in the church and with the church may prosper. Then we ought to sing this song, "It is well with my soul. Yes, I have a peace in my soul." So now, as we close our time together, as we are getting ready to go out into the world, let's sing this song. Please stand.